This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power!
Yeah! How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch!
Race Wars.
Race Wars, we back, baby. I think the equipment is working. For the love of God, we shoot this show with a ColecoVision, two broken Ataris, some headphones, and duct tape.
An avocado, some string.
We need new equipment in here, apparently. But something ain't right. We got a packed house, though. Let's introduce everybody real fast. Kimberly, go first.
My name is Kim Barker. I'm a reporter at the New York Times, and I did a recent story on housing and rent stabilization in New York.
Yeah, stop trying to mess up Jew money. Aaron,
the discomfort set in immediately.
All
on
Jew people pockets for. What are you doing that for?
Looks at door.
Aaron Carr, executive director of a housing watchdog group, Housing Rights Initiative. We organize class action lawsuits against predatory landlords.
Yeah, wow. I'm a Jew attacker. That's what it sounds like to me. Aaron, calm down.
Oh, I mean, yeah, great.
Venus, welcome back.
I feel like I'm the curveball here. Hi, my name is Venus Lux. I'm a trans porn star, porn producer.
What's the pause about? Why are you pausing?
Because I'm like, there's like these formal jobs here. I'm just like, I don't have a formal job. I suck dick for a living. And I fuck for a living.
That's a different line of work.
And I'm trans.
And she's trans.
Hi.
Yes.
Right on. Richie Redding. And I'm a comic. You know
comedian
me,
Rich
I think.
Redding.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome. You came, you've been on the show before, right?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yes. Karen?
Comedian, white Karen.
My white daughter, Karen.
White daughter, Karen, comedian, very good comedian.
Yes, very, very, very good. Listen, I want to jump right into it with you, Kim, because I know you have an out.
I do have a hard out.
No, your article, I read some article. Explain your article to some of the listeners.
It was a couple of articles, and it was just looking at the rent regulation market in New York. And for people who don't live in the city, rent regulation is a way to sort of keep some of, or a lot of the apartments theoretically affordable to New Yorkers, because as everybody knows, New York is very, very expensive to live in, despite what you see in TV shows like Friends.
Friends was all lies, man.
I mean, it was all
that
lies.
That big-ass house, that big-ass apartment.
It was huge.
It was somebody's grandma's.
Well, it was allegedly rent-controlled, and it was a big lie.
It was a loft. It was like the loft from the movie Big.
But
it was
like Sex in the City.
All the neighbors were white,
too.
Sex in the
City, she's a writer. She was a writer. She had her own two-bedroom with like an office.
Like a freelancer. No.
And across from each other.
Those shoes. It's like you can have shoes or a house.
It's all lies.
Right. So basically what we were looking at is all the different ways and the loopholes that landlords have taken advantage of in
was
recent
Mark
years.
Wiener? Now, Mark Wiener was involved. What's his name?
Wiener?
Wiener?
What did Wiener do?
Anthony Wiener. Yeah, that dummy.
Then he was part of the 1994.
Now he's in prison.
Yeah.
But then they changed like the guidelines in 1994 in New York City, and that's what allowed...
In 93 and 94, and that's what allowed
landlords... And Wiener was one of the dudes involved in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was... I mean, he wasn't one of the primary movers in that.
Okay.
We're talking about the city versus the state. And like the state actually is the one that has to determine rent laws at this point, right, Aaron?
Yep.
Anyway, so we're looking at landlords and how they push people out of affordable rent-regulated housing, and then how they then flip those apartments into the free market, turning an apartment that might have cost like, say, $900 a month, $1,100 a month, into an apartment that's all of a sudden like $4,000 a month. Mm. And all these numbers are very difficult to understand for folks who do not live in the city. But for what it's doing here is it's pricing out people who don't have very high-paying jobs to not having places to live anymore. And it just raises the question about what sort of city we want New York to be.
Yeah, when I lived on 75th Street on Upper East Side, me and Rachel Feinstein, another comedian, we lived, and so we called it squalor, but it was the best time of our lives. So we went right around the corner from one of the comedy clubs that we performed at. We were just new comics. And we had our shower was in the kitchen.
Right.
In the kitchen.
Damn.
See, she's like, about New York City.
Yeah, that's like five people in one studio or something.
No, with two of us, it was, we had a railroad apartment, but our rent was like $700.
Right.
Okay. $700. This is Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Yeah.
But this was like early 2000s.
Right.
And then they offered us, because they wanted us.
They wanted a buyout.
Yeah,
they
offered us a buyout. But they also, because they started renovating like some of the apartments in the building. And it's like, oh, the renovated apartments look great. But they did. I did get them to give me money and an apartment.
So how much money did you get?
$15,000
You got $15,000 and she got $15,000
No.
Did you even share the fact there was a buyout?
Listen, stop being all in my pockets now. What am I, a slumlord? You mind your business, lady. Coming around here asking me about my business.
That's between me and Jews.
Okay, how much or little does it cost the developer to take it from the $900 apartment to the $4,000 apartment? It, well, it can't be more than like $10,000 worth of shit, right?
Mm. Well,
they did do a lot of work, but they brought, they had their own construction people in from like Israel who came over and just did it. I guess they had a deal.
All right, watch out.
But that's what it was. But, I'm just talking about my particular
situation. But now, do you have a feel for that?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, you're wanting to hit this threshold, which now is like a little bit more than $2,700 a month. And if you get the price of an apartment over $2,700 a month, then it's you can charge whatever you want, $6,000, whatever the market bears.
Oh, they're going to squeeze these people out of New York.
So, like, and to do that, and here's where you have to do math, you know, so let's just do easy math because I'm a journalist and that's the only math I can actually do. I'm kidding. I'm excellent at math. I was a math lead in high school. But let's say, let's say that like you've got an apartment that costs $1,500 a month and you then go and do, somebody moves out. You could then add 20% onto the rent automatically. So $1,500, 20% of that is...
$1,800.
Yeah, $1,800. Yeah. It's $300, add that. So then you have to get it from $1,800 up to a little bit more than $2,700.
Right.
So, you know, if you do something like $40,000 worth of improvements, or you say you do $40,000 worth of improvements, and that's what I'm getting at here, then you divide that by 40. This is the sort of calculations you have to do. You can add like 1/40th of the improvements you do on top of that. So that would be, you know, $1,000. You get it up to $2,800. You're into the free market. You can charge whatever you want. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, did you get into it? It's just a hustle.
Did you get into the Kushner?
Almost all fraud.
Yeah, we did get into the
Kushner. It was like a big deal, right? Yeah. They were like making it toxic for people to live. They had to leave.
Well, yeah, and it depends on the place. And like that's a one particular instance that's over the Williamsburg instance,
recent
right?
Lawsuit, yeah.
Yeah, and there was, and Aaron was more involved in that.
Okay.
And that was a different sort of rent stable. All of this is so confusing. And so when we're talking about this, you have to think about an average person who lives in one of these places.
We don't know our rights.
You know, we don't know our rights. Yeah. That's absolutely correct. And like they also don't have to offer any sort of proof to the state agency regulating this. They can just say, yeah, I spent $40,000. Mm-hmm. They only have to give receipts over if the like new tenant challenges it. And the new tenants often don't know their rights, you know? So people should read those very large stories that we wrote in the Times, and it explains a lot of this stuff.
Wow.
It's almost all fraud.
Well, I don't know if it's almost all fraud. I'm not going to paint everybody with the same brush. But, you know, there are so many loopholes. And the laws that are on the books aren't necessarily enforced either by the city or by the state.
But that means that it goes to the top, right? Because if you're talking about like legislation and enforcement, then it has to go all the way from the people at the top must know and not just know, but be totally complicit in
it. Well, you have to think about, there's a couple of things I would say to that. There are different agencies who are responsible for different aspects of this. You get in the city, you've got the Department of Buildings, and you've got Housing Preservation and Development, right?
A bunch of offices that don't do shit.
They don't talk to each other, right? And like, there's not a communication. Then in the state, you've got the department, or you've got the Division of Housing and Community Renewal that is on a computer system from the 1980s.
Wow, that's 111.
So, I mean, like, you remember those black screens with green
MS-DOS?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I mean,
they're still using Beginner's All Perfect Symbolic Instructional Code and Pascal basic. And Logo. What a bunch of 80s nerds. Am I right, guys? Anybody else? World software?
That's how they run that's like the subway also, right? They use like old Pac-Mans and stuff to like make it run.
Right, and it makes it so like you can't even, if you're working there, you can't even look up all the buildings that one landlord owns.
Jesus
so
Christ.
Even if you like find out, so even if you get a complaint you find of an overcharge in one apartment that you find is completely valid, they can't even look, and they don't look up all the other apartments in the building, let alone all the apartments in the owner's portfolio.
That's like a straight up emergency.
This is like how we treated,
it's a crisis.
Treated Al-Qaeda before 9/11.
Yeah, this is how 9/11
like
happened.
We just didn't, nobody communicated. Right. FBI didn't talk to the CIA. CIA didn't. And next thing we know, buildings are falling.
Right. So because you've got all these different agencies that don't talk to each other, everybody can point fingers at everybody else. Yeah, like after the story, and after the story ran, I mean, de Blasio, our mayor, for people who aren't
not my mayor, sorry.
our city's mayor, posted on his Facebook page, this is why we need changes in the state laws, without even sort of acknowledging that we were also writing about failures in the city. Mm-hmm. So everybody's able to go, no, it's your fault, no, it's your fault. And meanwhile, you know, nothing changes. And if you look at the state's campaign finance rules and you look at who the major donors are to state politicians, it's going to be a lot of developers.
Yeah, follow the money. That's how they...
Is it made murkier because every building is owned by a separate LLC for that building?
Yes,
it's so made... So there's shell companies and all that shit.
Mm. Yeah, so because, as you were saying, each building is owned by a different limited liability company. And so for us to even figure out who the overall owner was, you know, a colleague of mine created a database where you're linking back to these addresses and you're creating landlord networks. And it took forever. It took forever. And then you had to verify that it was indeed the same landlords, like when you were doing the reporting. It's a lot of work.
What?
God bless you.
Aaron, what do we have to do? Aaron, what's happening here?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not an enforcement issue. It's a campaign finance issue.
Right. Really?
And Kim spoke to that. Influence. This is all intentional. They know where the problems are. They know what to do to solve them. They don't have the political will to solve them.
Right.
Because 10% of all political contributions at a state level come from real estate. And while money can't buy you love, it can definitely buy you government.
Right.
And this is the outcome of that. Ruinous fraud across the rent stabilization program and also in a lot of these city agencies as well.
Who do we need to send to jail? God damn it.
I think we need to reform our campaign finance laws so we can get our government back.
But how do we do that? I mean, the people got to really get angry and fucking shut the city down for that to happen.
Absolutely. And you got to ramp up the pressure. I think the media, our elected officials need to make campaign finance a pillar, basically, of the progressive movement. And I think progressivism has kind of gone off track in that sense. There's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of talk.
We got to
bring it. Yeah, we got to bring it back to, you know, the old school, like Al Smith, Governor Al Smith used to rail against corruption and fraud. That was a main pillar of his platform. And you don't see that kind of energy anymore.
I think it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. So like the pendulum can swing all the way bad so people can want to make it good.
It's going to have to.
Yeah. And that's what our organization does in part. Yeah.
Now, who do you sue? You suing people to try to...
So what we do is we use a data-driven approach to figure out you know, where real estate fraud is occurring. Basically, we have to pierce through those LLCs in order to see the systematic patterns of fraud across various portfolios.
Right.
Our team of investigators will go into these buildings, collect data, leases, information from the tenants, and then we'll partner with law firms to file these cases as class action lawsuits.
Now, do the tenants get into beef with the landlords when they figure out that they helping out you guys?
Once they have, well, they're helping out themselves because a lot of them are getting defrauded,
right.
And they're entitled to a rent refund, the rent reduction, and a properly rent stabilized lease. Once you set up a tenant with a lawyer, it's counterintuitive. That's usually the last tenant that a landlord now wants to go after.
Right.
Because now they know their rights, they're protected, it's in the court of law. A lot of these predatory landlords are cowards. Mm-hmm. And once you set them up with legal support, they'll back down pretty quickly.
My lease said it's, I mean, our rent's horrendous. I live in Hell's Kitchen, but it says on the lease that there's a period of rent stabilization. When that's up, it could go to the market value of like $10,000 a month.
What?
Right.
Preferential rent.
Yeah, what you probably have is you probably have what's known as a J51.
J51. Only nerds can.
which is a different kind of rent stabilization than the traditional sort of $2,700 limit. It's a year limit. So, you know, probably like maybe, did it say the year that your apartment is going to go into this?
It's within a couple years, I think.
Right. So it was probably about 24, 23 years ago. They did some improvements in the building and they got a tax break for it.
Right.
Seems right.
You know, and so and they did a lot of improvements, most likely, correct? You know, and then like they get this for usually 25 years. And then after that, as long as they tell you they're bringing it out of rent stabilization, they're bringing it out of rent stabilization.
Right.
And they could, it's totally legal. And they could jack your rent up to $10,000 a month.
Right. But I mean, nobody is paying that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's it basically becomes like the maximum becomes the minimum, sort of, right? Like the what people are willing to pay is the new floor.
Free market. Yeah, exactly.
So that's just saying
it's rent stabilization and name owner.
It'll probably be like in Hell's Kitchen, depending on how nice the place is, you know, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000, whatever.
Yeah.
Depending on how many bedrooms you have.
All right, how close is to the Skywalk?
No, we're far away from that. I'm 55th and 9th.
They got a new train over there, don't they? That's 7 coming around there?
No. I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
This city is just so damn expensive, man.
Yeah. It's, yeah, the rent's too damn high.
The rent's too damn high. That dude was fucking crazy as fuck. He looked like a black Dracula. But I'd be damned if he wasn't pulling out. The rent's too damn... So how do we stop this now? Like...
I mean, I don't know.
Who do we talk to? Is it a congressman
without
I should call?
Without making any effort or having to do anything.
Yeah, I don't want
to
wake up early in the morning to do it, but what Cuomo do I have to get on the phone? Which one of these fucking ex-baseball bodies do I have
to... Cuomo brother.
I don't know. It's sort of like... It would take a large effort to change anything. You know, it's... You've got de Blasio is saying affordable housing is... It's the crux of his... It's what he's staking his reputation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's
so going to
paint the whole thing
it?
In lead and let everybody die. He doesn't care.
Are we all going to live in his black son's afro?
Kim is so uncomfortable. She's so uncomfortable with your racial humor. It's great.
Very uncomfortable.
I can say black son. I was one.
No, you went straight for the Jews as soon as he introduced her. Like, oh,
my
shit.
My mother's Jewish. I can say it.
What did I sign up
for?
I'm
a Jew, too. I'm everything.
That's convenient.
It is. I'm a New Yorker.
It's called license.
I got license. But so how do we... I don't... Who are the biggest... Like, tell me now, who's the biggest...
Let's talk about, like, the fraudsters. Let's talk about the laws that exist on the books to criminally prosecute bad landlords.
Okay.
The biggest landlord that's been prosecuted, you guys hear of a guy by the name of Steve Croman?
Steve Croman, yes.
Yeah, he was described by the former Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, as being the Bernie Madoff of landlords when he was arrested. So he's like the worst. Really, he's the worst popular landlord.
He was a sideburns guy, right?
I don't think he had sideburns.
They had him on the front page or something.
Yeah.
Running out of somewhere trying to hide his face.
Right. No, he's a very... He's actually a great... He doesn't have sideburns. He's very clean cut. No facial hair. But
that's my way of asking if he was Hasidic. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I totally didn't get that. He was charged with all these crimes, but these crimes he was charged with, which... And he was known as being this top harasser of tenants. Crimes he was charged with were all financial crimes because there were no... laws on the books that actually could be used to criminally prosecute a landlord for harassing a tenant.
For bullying you and trying to get you out.
Right.
So you can't the say only harassment.
One that's, the only one that's on the books is the level of evidence that's required is so high that in the 21 years that it's been on the books, or 20 years, something like that, nobody has ever been convicted of it.
What?
They just don't. They don't want people to be convicted of it. That's why they made the burden so high.
Yeah, I mean, that's you saying that. I'm just saying that's how high the burden is.
Now,
so,
how much money did this crook give to like a campaign?
I mean, his companies had given like various amounts of money, but he's not the most significant donor to campaigns. I mean, he was very much held up as like, this is the poster child for how we're going to handle bad landlords.
And
the punishment he got, you want to know how much he got, how much time he got sentenced to?
It's going to be depressing.
6 months.
You know, he ended up spending 8 months in jail. And
the white man is the devil.
And it was like the financial jail too. It wasn't like he didn't go to Rikers.
He was supposed to go to Rikers. He didn't end up in Rikers. He ended up in the Tombs, which is believe it or not, it's a relatively nicer place than Rikers. Tombs versus
it
Rikers.
Really is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, I heard it.
It's in Lower Manhattan. It's in Lower Manhattan, so it's much easier for friends and family to visit.
Must be nice.
You know, and he's out already. You know, his businesses have been taken over by a receiver, but he still gets the money from it. You know,
so if you're a landlord, I see no reason why not to do this.
No.
Look at the fines that you get if you're violating the rules of the Department of Buildings. And let's face it, a lot of the improvements that they do The violations are going to come in construction, which the Department of Buildings regulates. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get caught doing anything, and the Department of Buildings will close a complaint of illegal construction or anything else. If they try twice to get inside and they don't get in, mm-hmm. they move on, they close the complaint. But if they actually get inside and they find something wrong, the maximum fines are not significant. In fact, the median fine we found was like $800, which if you're a multi-million dollar developer, you'll take that fine.
Did you guys have to do battle with landlords at some point? How did you wind up being, like, I assume you're a lawyer?
So before I started Housing Rights Initiative, I was working for an elected official in the South Bronx, Assemblymember Blake. I tried to avoid Albany at all costs. So I would stay in the district. We were working on housing issues all day long. And that's when I realized that, you know, I wouldn't even say that the government is asleep behind the wheel. They fell asleep before they even got into the car. Mm-hmm. These agencies never showed up.
And we were asleep a little bit charitable.
Yeah.
Intentional.
Yeah, yeah,
People empowered
an intentional coma.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, and they would never show up. And you know, we weren't a powerful elected office, but we were an elected office. So I figured if we were calling them, they would come to the rescue, help some of these tenants out. And they never showed up. It was like waiting for Superman, and Superman never came.
So if you guys call in from an elected official's office, what's the chances of just a regular person getting these motherfuckers?
Exactly.
Out?
Right.
And that's basically how Housing Rights Initiative came about. I said we have to circumvent this broken bureaucratic system.
So broken.
And we did that by organizing large groups of tenants and then incentivizing law firms to take these cases on a no out of pocket cost basis, so we can sue the landlords, get their money back, and also expose a lot of the dysfunction within government that's causing these problems to happen in the first place.
And this started up in the Bronx?
South Bronx, yeah.
And how's it working out now? How many landlords did you guys sue?
So we have close to 50 class actions.
Wow.
Going. Jesus. Three against Kushner Companies, and some other big landlords. Two against Croman. We actually organized a class action against Croman while he was in prison,
right.
because the governor, even though this guy went to jail for defrauding tenants and the banks, never actually audited the portfolio. So he didn't say, Croman owns over 100 buildings. If he goes to jail for fraud, the first thing you should do is audit the portfolio and see if they're defrauding tenants, if they're cheating on tax benefits.
Right.
They didn't do any of that.
How do they justify that?
Their justification is weak. I mean, I think they basically said, we are actually looking into it. And it's like, we're a nonprofit that has a budget of a nickel and a piece of lint. And you're going to defer your enforcement obligations to us. That's just sad.
Oh,
can I suggest,
no, it's just through this. Okay, Richard.
Yeah, can I suggest going after Schuster Management in Jersey City?
I will look into them.
Who
are they?
I took them on. That I had this. They took over this building. The original landlord, Bitch Ass Ron, went under. And if you come across Schuster Management or Ron Spanner in Jersey City, fucking run. So we lived right next door to it and to this new building. And it was like, it was held up by like 4 months. We had to keep extending our lease by a month. It was a real issue. And the last day I had my window open and the inspector came and Ron is with this guy and the guy's out front. He's like, look, I'm sorry. I can't do anything. You got to fix this shit. This is code. And he's like, come on. There's got to be something we can do. They get in the guy's car together.
Oh.
Go around the block. And I get a call. Hey, Richie, it's Ron. Guess what? We got the CO. So, like, I saw a certificate of occupancy. So I saw whatever it was happen. And, like, you know, so, like, day one, it was like, these walls seem kind of thin. And he's like, no, it's fine. And once it was actually time to start like running the heat, we couldn't get the bedrooms above 55. And it, like he knocked $100 off forever until finally it was like, no, fuck this. I'm not paying rent anymore until you fix it.
Right. Do your job.
And it's like, but I can't fix it if you don't give me the money. You got to give me the money and I'll fix it. Like, no.
Oh.
And so the one time, so they had the same guy.
You to follow the law.
So it was always the same guy that fixed shit. It was this guy that didn't speak English that Ron called him Jesus. And he tried to fix the neighbor downstairs heat. And the whole family's there. And the lady's like, I feel woozy.
Oh, no.
They had a parakeet fucking boop died. That this guy like backed up. Yeah.
In
this guy. Yeah. The guy, he like somehow backed up the exhaust of their heat.
Jesus
so and like damn near killed them. We had to clean out the whole building. So it got to the point that I was just like, no, I'm not paying rent anymore. And in Philly, I'd had to withhold rent, but you had to put it into escrow. Jersey City, you just have to send them a letter every month saying I'm still withholding heat. So that went on for like 7 months.
Wow.
And every time, look, give me $500, okay? You give me $500 and I'll fix it tomorrow. But I intercepted a letter saying that we see that you're $2 million in arrears. It just came to my mailbox and that your property is going to be foreclosed on. So, and like coming.
He was just trying to collect money from you.
Yo, it got down to the point, like, just give me $100. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Just one hand up.
Yeah. So Schuster takes over, right? So it goes into foreclosure. Schuster buys it in a fire sale. And we thought it was going to be over, but they started to try to collect the back money that I owed to the other guy.
Oh,
of course.
And it still wasn't fixed. So I finally got them after this is like a quick summary of it. I got them to let us move into the apartment above us because the building was empty except for us because everybody else got evicted because they weren't paying rent, but they were doing it the wrong way. Right. So they tried to evict us, and at this point, it had been like 15 months that I was just sending letters instead of rent.
Right.
The guy tried to evict us also, and I was like, look, if you try to evict me, I'm going to sue you and I'm going to win. Because Schuster wouldn't give us proof of our security deposit, which the other guy bounced on. Right. And supposedly, if you request it within 30 days, they have to give you, they have to show you where it is, right? Or they owe you double. And the guy's like, okay, yeah. And I get a letter saying that they're evicting us. It was like, all right, well, so we won the eviction because they were trying to evict us for back rent for 2R when we lived in 3R now.
Right.
It was like, well, you can't evict me for not paying rent in an old place. And well, the same,
place, yeah,
yeah right. And the same day that we were there, I filed the lawsuit for $5,000 and because of the security deposit. And I get a call from the guy like, hey, I thought we had this settled. Like, dude, I told you, if you try to evict me, I'm going to sue you and I'm going to win.
About being sloppy.
Yeah.
No.
And
and it got, they had three lawyers in the court. It was just me. And like, and they're like, we're not going to let this happen. It's going to go. It's like, all right, well, let's go all the way because it's going to cost you $10,000 because I know you suits have to get paid for.
Right.
So they be so fucking begrudgingly gave us the $5,000.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, I mean it was the biggest comedy of errors ever. They never put us on the master key. And this is Schuster Management in Jersey City. And I was like, all right, well, you know, let yourself in however you can. I come home and a crowbar had popped my deadbolt. And the doors open and couldn't shut. And I called them like, what the fuck? Did you guys break into my apartment? Well, you said to let us in.
Oh, man.
Let ourselves in. And it was like
crime
4 months before they would like, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Like the slightest wind and like you would hear the crowbar hole whistling.
And so you got to do all that just to get $5,000 out of this fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. For living in Jersey City.
But like it was all consuming. You know, it's like, yeah, I saved a year and a half of rent or whatever. But like it was an everyday thing. And I had
to
do
dating someone at the time?
So much research.
Were you dating someone at the time? Were you single? Single maker.
No, I was sort of dating.
Single maker.
At the time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do we fight back, though? How do we... I'd have to see this getting worse.
I mean... I'm a journalist, so I don't. I write the stories. I mean, Aaron is more about
expose
like
them.
The fight. Yeah,
and then
like, and then I rely on other people to like take what they will from the stories and move forward with it.
Mm.
You have to expose
it. Which borough is the worst borough?
For what?
For just duped and fucking bullied by landlords.
I would say Queens is pretty bad. And then in Manhattan, it's the areas that are gentrifying considerably.
Right.
So, you know, Washington Heights, Inwood, yep.
Didn't they just have some type of battle on City Hall steps today or yesterday about Washington Heights and trying to rezone some shit?
Oh, yeah, the Inwood rezoning.
Yeah, the Inwood rezoning.
Which I think, so they are trying to rezone Inwood so they can create more affordable housing. Uh-huh. You know, I think de Blasio's affordable housing plan is commendable but extraordinarily misguided. And that is because with these rezonings where he's trying to create basically luxury development where a percentage of the units are affordable, right, they should be doing this in more affluent communities. Right. And that's like from like a policy standpoint, that is where you start. And that's because if you people, affluent people can't afford to live in an affluent community, they're going to come to your community.
Right.
So you have to increase the density in more affluent neighborhoods, and then you kind of work down from there. He did not do that. Why? That's not policy, that's politics. Right, affluent because people who live in affluent communities, they tend to higher voting propensity, yeah, and also they have a lot of money. A lot of them donate considerable money. So a lot of elected officials like de Blasio will say, I don't want to deal with that. Let's just rezone working class and low income communities, right, which is wrong it from is a policy wrong. Perspective oh. and a moral perspective.
Yeah. Also, like, I care about this because wow. I'm not affluent. If I were affluent, I'd be like, I mean, I care in theory, but I'd be like, I'm fine. And I like to keep it how I like to keep it nice and affluent around me.
And you know, there's no panacea. I'm not trying to say that we just have to build in, you know, affluent communities and the affordable housing crisis is over. That's one prong, but right, it is real. Like, yeah, look at Upper West Side and compare it to like Greenwich Village. The average studio for price for a studio in Upper East Side is about $2,000, which is high. Mm-hmm. In Greenwich Village, it's about $2,800. Right. Why? Because the Upper East Side, they actually have big buildings. They've built it up. It has more, yeah, density. Right. Greenwich Village is very flat. Yes, flat, nice, small. Flat. So it like creates it? This. Yeah, there you go.
Love a nice flat, yeah, part of town.
Right. So now the developers say, well, we can't build in Greenwich Village. Yeah. Let's just build in downtown Brooklyn. And, you know, the people who can't afford to live in some of these areas, that's in downtown up. Manhattan will come to Brooklyn.
And that's what's happening in Brooklyn.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and then, yeah, people getting pushed right out.
Yep.
Is there a percentage of high-rises that have to go towards affordable housing?
I think it's like, when it's a rezoning, it's like 25%, I believe.
Then they go that
and you just have to hit a lottery to get, like, that, right?
Yes.
Those West
which
buildings.
Is how you know, yeah, that our affordable housing system is really screwed up when, yeah, you have to play the lottery,
yeah,
in order to have
sign,
an affordable,
right,
life.
Yeah. You guys got to scratch bad off for sign. A house.
A lot, yeah, of it is 80-20 housing. So like, mm-hmm, 80% can be free market, 20% is supposed to be affordable, but, mm-hmm, affordable to whom?
Right.
And like, when you're in a place, like the way they do these affordable calculations, and again, this is like going to get into math, so I'll try not to like commit it for you, but they do this thing called the area media income, right, of the entire area. So that includes Westchester, mm-hmm, right, and the Bronx and Manhattan and Queens and Brooklyn. So it includes areas outside of New
why
York City.
Would that?
Yeah, why would they do that?
It's just,
I mean,
way,
for
it's
obvious
just,
reasons
it's
that
just
they want
what
to
our AMI
way.
Is, yeah, right? So then they figure out what affordable housing is based on the area median income.
Oh, wow.
And the median income of the area, when you compare that to like a place, a neighborhood in the Bronx, for example, where they are putting a lot of affordable housing, right, the affordable housing that comes in there is priced at a price that's oftentimes at market rate or even higher than market rate.
Wow.
It's just like so financial gerrymandering.
It just sort of, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You, yeah, know, it makes sense to get more affordable housing, but nobody ever like looks behind those numbers, affordable to whom?
Well, yeah, it makes perfect sense, yeah, if you don't, right, really want to have housing be affordable, then it's very rational. That's how you would do it.
Hey, that's fucking,
I know you can't
comics,
you're the journalist, but that's got to be what it is, and right? It's like, it seems extremely intentional. Someone writes these laws. Someone
they
has
like
to
this. Ah, they won't
not
pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Was it realtor money in politics behind the phenomenon of like the 70s and 80s where they were basically giving people housing way out of cities in order to get them to kind of give up their properties where they were? Like, for instance, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania has mad Puerto Ricans. And
I think that's actually the motto of the city.
Yeah. But
we got mad Puerto Ricans, Joe.
But it's all people that move from Philly.
You know, that was funny. You said,
yeah, it's all people that move from Philly because it was like you can struggle here or free house over here.
Yeah.
Mm. And people like really uprooted, mm, because, yeah, of that. Is that realtor driven? Like, did they?
Oh, that's,
I'm sure.
I'm sure,
I mean,
it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, any I guess, screwed up policy or dysfunctional policy is always going to have something, you know, pernicious behind it.
Right.
It's usually special interest groups, which is the problem with our enforcement system. The problem with these policies in general is that it a lot of times it's catered towards those who donate a ton of money to politics.
Right.
And I think another example of de Blasio not, you know, stepping up to the plate is our broken property tax system, which a lot of people don't fully understand because it's so convoluted and complicated. New York City has the most broken property tax system of any major city in the entire country.
This is all corruption here.
And a lot of tenants a lot of tenants don't know this, but they're paying property taxes indirectly. And that's because in large rental buildings in New York City, the landlords pay four times more in property taxes than homeowners. So what do they do? They pass on some of that burden onto the tenants in the form of higher rent. And most tenants don't know that that is happening.
How would we know the difference between what rent is and what fucking property tax is as a regular just renter?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part because it's invisible. So a lot of renters, they don't know, you know, and it obviously varies depending on what neighborhood you're in. But if we were able to reform our property tax system and make it more equitable, which obviously would make sense because homeowners tend to be wealthier than renters. And this is something actually landlords and tenants can both partner on. It's to their advantage. You can have some odd bedfellows here, which has already happened. That would lower rents on average. That is part of the affordable housing crisis. And a lot of tenants don't know. Now, it would require a lot of political will, because if you raise property taxes on homeowners, homeowners are going to know it because they're paying it directly.
Right.
But the tenants won't thank you for it because they don't know they're actually paying for it right now. And that's why you have to educate renters. We have to educate New York City on this issue. And I don't think the mayor talked about it enough, especially given that his entire platform is around affordable housing.
He's the hype.
He's
tired of that big German just screwing up nonsense. That big Wilhelm. You know he's a Wilhelm, don't you, Cam?
So uncomfortable.
You know he's a big, goofy Wilhelm. Kind of pass himself off as with spaghetti sauce. You all see through your lies, you dumb Santa Claus. He got some claws in him.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is a German, too. Don't try to sleep on that.
We got it.
Shut up.
We get it, Dad.
Venus, what do you think about all this, huh?
I'm so glad. I do not live here.
I mean, y'all get apartments, too, goddamn.
Where are you from?
I'm from California, San Francisco. So it's
you have similar issues.
Yeah, but I don't live there right now. So
well, have you ever had like a renting type of nightmare that you have to deal with?
Of course, dealing with landlords. And I kind of been through that kind of gambit of like having to deal with fixtures and not getting things fixed on time. And, you know, I think I've kind of luckily escaped that a little bit, just dealing with places where I just be able to afford for sure. Like $1,500 a month, that's totally fine. But $3,000 a month, like if you commit to that, like that's such a high overhead for yourself. You know, how do you, the quality of life is not the same. I'm about quality of life, and coming from California, I'm like, you know, you gotta figure out what kind of trade-offs you want, you know.
No, like have you seen areas in California like where you grew up that you can't afford now?
San Francisco, that's for sure. It's like becoming a New York, and
yeah, it's worse.
It's worse. Well, property value is higher.
You guys are winning.
Or?
Well, for the property taxes, our system. Yeah,
yeah, I could imagine.
Pretty
California.
Deplorable.
Los Angeles also really bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, but
that's
renting
why
still.
Homeless in California.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's true. Just enjoying the weather.
It's true.
Nah, nigga.
Well, the weather's. Well, you don't have snow in California, you know?
Even Tarzan had a goddamn. But yeah, it's like when you go to San Francisco, it's like beautiful buildings.
Yes.
But then you see a world of homeless.
Yeah.
Like even a.
Hey, Manhattan too. Manhattan too.
But
they're not organized.
I don't see it as much.
Yeah. Encampments.
You know what? I think New York sometimes is harder to tell who's homeless.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
You think you can tell, but you sometimes you know. I know comedians who performed every night who was homeless.
Well,
but you wouldn't be able to tell. But in Cali, it's like they look homeless.
Well, they got tents too in Cali. Yeah.
Having a home, like there's, you know what I mean. Like some people are homeless, but they make it work or whatever, and then some people are homeless, like have no access to home.
Yeah.
You also have right to shelter.
Yeah, shelters.
So I don't know. I don't think California has. I think we're the only one right in the country. A lot of times, people are in the shelters. You won't even see the how big the actual problem is.
Right.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I mean, just, keep it out of my eyesight, and then I'm fine. Yeah, you got to go. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Where can people reach you if they try to reach you, like on Instagram or anything like that?
I'm on Twitter at Kim_Barker, and then on Instagram at Kim_Barker30.
You were great. Thank you for coming, Kimberly.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hey, Kim.
It was great. It's a lot of information, man.
I know. Sorry.
No, that's great. No, we got to have you back. This is great. I just want to figure out how can we solve this goddamn problem.
There's just so many different prongs, and at a federal level, we talked about the city with the property taxes, De Blasio's affordable housing plan. At the state, we can get more into. We can't let Governor Cuomo off the hook by any means. But at a federal level, there's a lot of problems as well. I mean, the federal contribution is not enough to this problem. Perfect example is the mortgage interest tax deduction. Yeah. Homeowners get mad at me when I talk about it, but there's very few economists that would say that the mortgage interest tax deduction is good policy. This is one of those issues where libertarian economists, liberal economists can all come together and agree on the same thing. So basically, it subsidizes, the mortgage interest tax deduction will cover the interest, right, when you buy a home.
Right.
The problem is, right, most people buying homes are on wealthier. And it actually encourages them not to buy the home. They're already buying the home. They want to buy a bigger home because the government's covering their interest. Oh. So it's not actually creating home ownership. Right. We should scrap that program, actually create a program that's going to help out low-income residents, and then divert some of the funding also to Section 8 vouchers, rental vouchers,
that's
so
totally
on and so forth.
Sticking it to middle-class families, though.
No, you'd be surprised. So, and don't get me wrong, there should be programs for middle-class families, but program benefits incomes that are making incomes at $200,000 or higher. 50% of the benefit goes to families that are making $200,000 or more.
But what about the other 50%?
The other 50% is split most of it from incomes of $100,000 to $200,000. And I'm not saying we should just get rid of this program and leave out the middle class, leave out the working class and the low income. We should create a program that's actually targeted towards those groups. Mm. You're having folks that are making over $500,000 a year, and they're getting a subsidy. Right. Why? That's just encouraging them to get a bigger home. And it actually inflates the costs of the homeowners.
So what would you do? Just put a cap on what the credit is that you can get? You know, put a cap at $20,000 or something, or $15,000 a year.
It should be linked to more to income.
Income, yeah. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't just be some fucking blanket thing that rich people can take advantage of. And chances are, the rich people know to take advantage of these things, because they got the lawyers and a fucking realtor who's going to tell them how to do it.
Rich people know their rights.
And the poor people, they don't know shit about it.
We should have Cuomo.
And it's supposed to be for them to buy houses like this.
Cuomo against Cuomo, and have the one Cuomo investigate journalists the other Cuomo, and have them go head to head.
But at the same time,
and Cuomo each other the fuck out.
But I mean, you can't say that the middle class wouldn't get hurt by that.
Wouldn't get hurt by, but that's why they're
taking away your.
There's countless studies
your tax credit.
Yeah, but I mean,
you gotta take it away. What do you gotta do?
Just politically trying to say, like, we're gonna do this. But yeah, it would, it of course, get spun as we're gonna do this at the expense of the middle class.
You gotta
make it according
to income.
Poor people.
Well, it helps out very few people in the middle class, relatively speaking. I mean, a lot of, and that's not, like I said, if you scrap the program, you should come up with a different program that's actually going to target those who need help buying homes.
Yeah, cut the fat off of this one.
This costs tens of billions of dollars. A disproportionate amount of the people who it's benefiting are on the wealthier side. And it actually inflates the value of homes, making it less affordable for the middle class.
Is that because the ticket price of an upper class family home, the interest is going to be so much higher
that?
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's part of it. And also, I mean,
I think that makes sense, but I mean, I think you have to be very sensitive with any kind of policy thing, that if it looks like it's going to cost the middle class at all, you're going to have a fucking Trump bomb go off.
Sure. Yeah. And there's been like countless studies on this. Very few of them show that it actually helps the middle class. Like this is, there's a ton of research behind this. It's one of those few issues that libertarians and economists on the left.
I totally believe that. But if the counter message can be that it's going to hurt the middle class, then it's doomed to failure.
Totally.
You know, you're going to get Lou Dobbs'd.
100%. And that's why, should show
populism. Great.
And that's why you have to show these charts, right? Where, I mean, anyone can look it up. All of your listeners can look it up and to see who it's actually helping. The affluent get, you know, huge deductions on their mortgages because of this program. And that's just a categorical waste of money. The program is cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars a year. And that's money that could be diverted to middle class home ownership, lower income working class, and also rental vouchers. You could be actually targeting programs that would have a strong impact on these groups.
Hmm. Where are they doing it right? Who's doing the shit right? What state or city are you going to be like, okay, there we go. Louisville.
That's worth investing.
Louisville doing it right. Where's the town?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Louisville is not doing it right.
Is it somewhere where this shit is working out the right way?
Is that anywhere fun?
Anywhere fun. So,
Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a mess too.
Atlanta.
I think there are states that do it better, right, than New York. So we can start there.
Okay.
California has a lot of issues, but I think that their enforcement system, especially when it comes to maintenance, is supposedly much better and more advanced and more proactive and systematic.
Okay.
Obviously, that's not to say that California doesn't have
problems. We can learn who's doing this part right and this part right. Maybe we can vulture on the fuck out of it and fix New York.
That's right. And it's complicated because it's not, everyone's looking for the panacea and it just doesn't exist. It's an extraordinarily complicated issue. There's a lot of money behind this issue. You need city, state, you know, federal intervention. It can't just, you can't just put the burden on, you know, one, you know, government.
Right.
It has to be a collective effort. And I think that's what makes it difficult when we're spending a lot of money on programs like the mortgage interest tax deduction, which I agree we have to be careful about when we're trying to scrap programs that are not targeting the causes that they're professing to target. But it's that is a perfect example of something that needs to change in order to build actual affordable housing.
So what's the real gasoline behind it? So what's really running it? Is it capitalism? Is it this fucking human nature that we don't give a fuck and try to get the most out of whatever?
I think it's a mix of many things. Obviously, real estate is, you know, powerful, not just in given states, but across the nation. Across the globe. And, you know, with Citizens United and also in New York State, we have one of the most broken campaign finance systems in the entire country. This, you know, gives rise to the special interests and actually results in policies that are not actually helping with the affordable housing crisis.
And then it feeds back into itself, right? So the policies just reinforce that kind of corruption, special interest, like entrenchment.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a circle.
Isn't there also just the spending habits of consumers that, like, people will always consistently stretch as far as they can go on where they live?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a mortgage loan officer for a while.
And, more black people loans, nigga. Bitch ass.
Yeah, 17%. Come on, I got you. I can get you in a nice arm balloon, baby. A 3-year balloon. It'd be great. But it was like, you know, the standard is supposed to be, it's like, you know, 30% is supposed to go towards all your living expenses.
That's right.
But you can stretch it to like 55% and the bank would still approve it. And people, like, across the board, it was like, oh, well, if they'll approve it, I'll do it. You know, like 55 fucking percent. But when I look at my own expenses, it's like, yeah, that's pretty much where I am.
Part of quality of life is being nice where you want to be.
Plus, we want more than what we really need.
Living on the bubble, dude.
Are we, but is it us? Are we the fucking problem? Are we just going to be caught up in this fucking loop of overpaying for shit because we naturally would overpay for it if we had the opportunity to not get pressured to overpay?
Everybody lives on the bubble. That was what I learned from that job.
But if we know that we're in a bubble, that's when we become complicit. Like, no, but until, like, if you're not educated on it, that's one thing. And like most people are not, don't know their rights, don't know what's going on.
Right.
No, what I mean by like living on the bubble.
Once you know, it's on you too.
Yeah. For sure. But what I mean by living on the bubble is that like most people are like, two missed paychecks away from being fucked up. And that was, it was the same for somebody, because you know, you pull their credit, it's a super weird way to meet somebody, you pull their credit report and look at their entire financial history. And the guy that made 60 grand was usually just as leveraged out as the guy that made 400 grand.
Yeah, we all play that same balance and act like, ooh, because we all think at the end of the day, when you die and you owe money,
dude, there's this guy. Gotcha. There's this guy that was a chiropractor.
It's on you, nigga. Yeah.
This dude that was a chiropractor, he made 400 something a year and could not get a mortgage because his wife kept racking shit up on the cards. He had to consolidate.
You gotta kill your wife,
dude. He had to consolidate like 70 grand worth of credit card debt.
Jesus.
And we get to the table, and he was supposed to cash out like a really good lump, and they pull the credit report at the last second. And we're like, there's an extra $90,000 on this.
No!
And he looks at it, gets on the phone, like, this fucking bitch put a Range Rover on an Amex.
On an Amex.
See what pussy it do to you? That's
what
little taser pussy?
That must have been some
bomb-ass
pussy.
Yeah, well, we're all sitting there like, get a divorce, motherfucker. Yeah, she must have had some shit on him.
Damn, yeah, that's a lot of money.
So he did something.
Dude.
So he didn't get the loan?
He
had to work it out.
He did, but he walked away with 90 grand less than he was supposed to. Yeah, because he had to pay all that shit off in order to get the loan.
Now that's his fault.
She
put
was
on a leash.
Smoking him. Yeah.
Did he have kids with him?
But like,
family?
Yeah, they had like three kids. But
well,
like, joy as a guy that was only making like 50 grand to see somebody that's legit rich by any normal person's stretch, to see the look on somebody's face when they just found out a $90,000 purchase went on their shit. Woo!
On a credit card, too. That shit's toxic.
Did she do it while he was at the office?
It was like over the weekend. Yeah.
I mean, I'm literally taking notes.
And see the car right there in his driveway. And
he stayed out all weekend.
Common sense.
Old wife. Yeah. And then she's like, I'm going to show this nigga. Amex. Thanks, boo.
Could you fucking imagine?
Karma's an expensive bitch.
The look. Oh, that look was priceless.
Wow. Man, that's like heart attack inducing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why he had to keep working.
Yeah, he had to go crack some backs after that.
She's not dumb.
Can you imagine being the next guy that got their back cracked by that motherfucker? Oh, god damn.
Yeah.
Tapping out.
On your shit?
So,
I feel adjusted.
How do we... So, okay, so you say Queens is the worst borough as far as getting duped.
Yes.
Why is that? Because there's so much development going on over there?
I mean, it is...
You see, they blew up the whole fucking...
Yeah.
Whatever faces Manhattan, motherfucker, got a building on. It's whole building now.
Right. And the Queens market, you know, in large part is driven by the Manhattan market.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's a lot of speculation, a lot of guessing. There's a lot of diversity. So you'll have landlords that obviously want to push out certain groups of people, community people of color. And
how dare they?
Yep.
I'm a people of color.
So you'll see a lot of, you know, a lot of discrimination against those that have vouchers,
right.
A lot of rent fraud. We have a lot of class actions against landlords in Queens. I mean, there's one landlord that we sued. It was 9 different times in one shot because they had 9 buildings that were all receiving tax benefits in return for 100% affordability.
Right.
And they deregulated about half of the units illegally in 9 buildings.
Wow.
And the government doesn't look at this data. And they're the ones giving out the tax breaks to these folks. Tax breaks for tax cheats.
So did this motherfucker go to jail?
You're getting fraud and you're because they're the LLCs. The LLCs will protect them, right?
They just closed down the company and then they
said, you sue the LLCs, you're not really suing the direct owner.
Right.
That's nuts.
Now, it's still something because, you know, the government really is, like I said, is asleep. And they're not looking into this, so you have to do something and create that disincentive. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with the enforcement model. It is tenant-driven. So if a tenant files a complaint, they'll look at that individual tenant's apartment, but they won't conduct an audit of all the other apartments in that building and across the buildings owned by that same landlord. So if one tenant files a lawsuit, wins $50,000, but that same landlord is making millions of dollars overcharging everyone else, right. That $50,000 penalty is not a penalty. It's an investment with a multi-million dollar return.
Why wouldn't they audit him? Why wouldn't that be the next step to do? Yeah. To audit everything this motherfucker owns?
Because they don't have the political will to audit him. They know what they're doing. We've identified. If you look at our Twitter account, we identified over 1,000 buildings in New York City that are receiving tax benefits and that are unequivocally and factually defrauding tenants and taxpayers. We've tweeted this to the governor.
1,000.
1,000. And you can look at our Twitter account. We've tweeted this to Governor Cuomo. And said, hey, look at all these buildings that are receiving tax benefits.
That's
tax
money.
$250 million a year in foregone revenue. It's called the J51 tax program. Holy shit. And it was sold to New York City.
That's the title of the show. Yeah. J51 tax program is shit. Okay.
So how do you identify those buildings? Is that from complaints?
No. And then you... Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like, is there a complaint and then you go and investigate the rest of them?
This is the best part. All you have to do is look at their quarterly property tax statements, which is literally a matter of public record.
Right.
So when a landlord receives this benefit, 100% of the units have to be affordable.
Let me give a plug first. One second. Let's do a plug before you, Venus has to leave.
Sorry. Thanks. But I love hearing all it about it, you know, about New York, how corrupt it is, you know. But hi, I'm Venus Lux. You can follow me on Twitter at Venus Lux. Find me in California.
Thanks. So, if you go online on the Department of Finance, you can look up the property tax records of every single landlord in New York City. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They have to reveal how many of their units are rent stabilized or affordable, and they have to reveal whether or not they're receiving a tax benefit. So all we do
they
is...
They have to reveal that.
They have to. Okay. So it's literally on their quarterly property tax statement. So we at Housing Rights Initiative are math geniuses because all we do is divide the number of affordable units by the total number of units, and anything under 100% mm-hmm. is unequivocally illegal when you're receiving a tax benefit.
Right.
It's the most simple form of math.
It's been a math-heavy episode, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But this is simple math.
It's simple math.
Wow.
And they don't do anything about
heavy's
it.
Heavy's a strong word.
Dividing small numbers.
This makes me so infuriated. What office is totally in charge of
that? No one gives a fuck.
Governor Cuomo has jurisdiction. I mean, the state has jurisdiction over rent stabilization. Governor Cuomo is the executive. And it's been pretty disappointing.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't. And
he don't give a fuck.
He less than gives a fuck. He wants it to continue because it's being brought to his attention, and he actively ignores it.
I'm going to have to call out his brother on CNN. That's the only way to get to the Cuomo boys. You got to go through the pretty young one.
Gotta catch him live.
Let's not forget.
He's a strapping man. When I'm going in, that motherfucker is a strapping outfielder.
Yeah. And I think,
he's a shortstop. I'll handle this. Let me talk to Cuomo.
You know, I think one of the worst parts of the Trump administration is that it's caused so much noise at a national level that it drowns out everything that's not being done at a local level.
Yeah.
And this works to the advantage of governors like Governor Cuomo, who ran in their first term as a reformer. He told us he was going to reform our campaign finance laws, our ethics laws, our election laws. He has not reformed a single thing.
He's part of it.
You know, and keeping the White House in order. Yeah, he's the machine.
But to be fair, now that, but it's true that people have not, historically not paid attention at all to like local government, but now they're becoming aware of that because people like you are saying it a lot. Like, look, you guys, this is a smokescreen, and we're not paying attention to the local shit, which is where shit actually changes and where you, the individual, can make an actual change.
That's right.
And people are like you see all over the news and stuff, like unlikely winners of local elections because they went down to the grassroots level and like talk to individuals for months and months. Like, people are starting to get it.
Yep. Yeah, no, democracy is local. Yeah. And I agree that that folks are starting to get this, they're starting to pay attention, and they need to continue to amp up the pressure on folks like Governor Cuomo to reform our laws. Mm-hmm. And in New York State, like, we don't know this, but when it comes to ethics, campaign finance, election laws, we are at the very, very bottom.
Very bottom.
Very, very bottom. We have something called the LLC loophole. Have you ever heard of this? Mm-mm. So if you own, you know, when Mitt Romney said corporations are people, my friend, well, in New York State, LLCs are people, my friend, because if you own an LLC, let's say you have 100 LLCs, you can donate the maximum amount to the, let's say, the governor, $65,000 times 100 times 100.
Holy shit.
And that's why.
And if you're rich enough to be able to afford $65,000 donation, then you can have a bunch of them.
Literally, there's landlords that donate millions upon millions of dollars.
Wow.
And then people say, well, why aren't they enforcing the rent stabilization laws? Why aren't they? Well, this is why. Because they're paying for that.
For campaigns.
This is what you get. And Governor Cuomo promised to close the LLC loophole, and then became the biggest beneficiary of that loophole in the history of New York. Since 2011, he has raised more money through LLCs than all 213 legislators combined.
Good, because you know what? It's that impunity that's going to make people, like, people have to really see it. It can't be like a subtle corruption. It has to be that level for people to, like, and then eventually the more, like, and it's not going to happen one time that you bring it to their attention, right? It's over and over and over, and then people go, holy shit, where was I?
Yep. And that's you know, what we try to do as well. We want to help tenants directly, but we also want to make it impossible for anyone to deny that this problem is happening. Yeah. And you can do that through class action litigation, what we call impact litigation.
It's to wake people up. The money, man. The money always leads you to the fucking crooks.
Yep.
How do you,
all these dirty crooks?
Yep. How do you engage your own landlord? Just to, like, is it possible to stop?
Everything all right, Aaron? Hot water working, Aaron?
Yeah.
You okay, Aaron? You see the sun?
I definitely want to know how much this dude pays.
Is that why they're so nice to me? Yeah. I'm like, why are you giving me roses?
Hey, Aaron, what's the matter, boss? We hungry?
This place is just vacuumed.
It's unbelievable.
So your dog's been walked.
I never thought of that.
Why is my dog?
Where do you live?
Upper West Side.
Okay.
Yeah.
You getting a good deal?
I like where I live. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problems in your building, huh?
But how is it possible to?
Right.
Why are they even renting to me?
Yeah.
How did I get approval?
Yo, the damnedest thing with Schuster was that after they made, you know, after I got out of a year and a half of rent and I made them pay me $5,000 and replace the security deposit, was that they still renewed my lease because it was just like, guys, I'm like basically the foreman of this building. Like, I know where everything is. Safe. I know every problem.
But it would be great for a landlord to have you in the building. If they're doing everything right, they're going to look like the best landlord ever, because you're the dude who will call them out.
Yeah, and there are some good landlords, and and that's why I don't view this as a landlord problem or even a real estate problem. This is a campaign finance and a Democratic problem. Yeah.
Right.
This is what, like, the analogy I give is, if you want to understand how real estate works in New York City, read Lord of the Flies.
Yeah,
remember that?
The
bunch of landlords that get stuck on this island. Yeah. There's no laws, there's no enforcement. A few try to stand up and do the right thing. Yeah, Piggy gets a rock dropped on his head. Jack is running out and a, you know, fire and all that stuff. Yeah. That's what happens when you have no enforcement.
Chaos.
But can you, as an individual, stop the constant rent increase every year?
You, as an individual, if they're illegally overcharging you? You have to evaluate your position. So if you're rent stabilized, right, and they're not allowed to raise your rent more than, you know, X percent. So I think this year was about 1.25%. Well, then that's illegal, and you can fight that. And since you're rent stabilized and you're entitled to renewal leases, you can go after them with brute force from a legal perspective. But if you're not rent stabilized, then you may want to use more honey at first.
Hey, dude.
Right, right. You have to evaluate the strength of your position.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I tell tenants. If you were illegally deregulated, you should do something about it, because once your rent stabilized, then you can enforce your rights with maintenance and all of those other things, and the landlord can't get you out as long as you're paying rent and following the rules.
How do you get yourself rent stabilized?
The paying rent part.
So,
well,
it's difficult because there's no database. So you're kind of trusting the landlord. You know, you go in, you say, are the apartments rent stabilized? If he says yes, an apartment could, you know, and this could be legal, an apartment could be rent stabilized in name only, meaning because every apartment has a maximum rent. And if that rent, like in your case, is $10,000, but you're paying, let's say, $3,000, $4,000, whatever you're paying, they can raise your rent at any point all the way up to that legal maximum.
Right.
So it makes it tricky. You can be rent stabilized, but the legal maximum is so high that you're really not rent stabilized in practice.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So we're fucked.
No.
This is upsetting.
No, like you said, people are catching on.
Yeah.
I think people now understand that there are serious problems at a local level.
Serious.
And we didn't talk about this, but our election laws. I mean, New York State should be ashamed of itself. Oh, no, they want to lead the national charge on voter suppression. We are systematically suppressing voters. We don't have early vote. We don't have same day registration. We do not want people to vote. We have one of the worst voter turnouts in the entire country. It was 41st. Yeah. We ranked 41st in 2016.
Trump's kids couldn't fucking
here's
vote.
Here's one thing, because New York is so expensive.
In the primary.
That's right.
Everybody got to work when motherfuckers got to vote. Yep. It's like, Chrissy used to have a joke about it. It's like, if you really wanted everybody to vote, why the fuck you doing it on a Tuesday?
Yep. Yeah, do it Saturday.
Anything else you do on a Tuesday? You have a big birthday party on a Tuesday?
Right.
Yep.
You don't do anything else you want people to come to on a Tuesday. Yep. But you're going to... It's like, make it all week. Make it the weekend. Make That's it right. when people, motherfuckers can get off.
That's right.
They don't want that.
They don't want that.
They don't want that. They want you to have to go to work and not be able to leave work.
You hear a lot about progressivism, but that's not too progressive, right?
No.
That's where progressivism goes to die.
The busiest day in a fucking week, that's when you're going to do it.
Yeah, like 5 or 6
it's
years.
It's disgraceful. When
you got to work and your kids got to go to school and you got to feed these motherfuckers.
Single mothers in the South Bronx who used to help. Yeah. There's no way they can get away. And look what they're doing in like Oregon. They should be like, this is the paragon of how you should go about voter laws. They have mail-in ballots where they essentially mail the ballots to basically all the voters, and you get it like I think 2 months in advance.
Wow.
Like that's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Like that's and that hurts incumbents, right? Because
right,
incumbents, right? That's how Democratic that state is.
Yeah.
Where they didn't care. Mm-hmm. They established mail-in ballots, and in 2016 they had the biggest increase in voter turnout in the entire country, and Trump and Hillary Clinton spent $0 there, so it can only be attributed to the fact that when you mail people your ballot and all they have to do is just go on the street and they have all these boxes where you can just slip it in.
Boom.
And you vote done. You have two months to do that.
What about the 5 million people from out of state that were illegally voting?
No.
5 million
That should be the law everywhere.
It really should.
One day.
So funny. Like, people can't even be bothered to act on their own behalf, and like for reasons whatever.
Yeah.
But like to imagine that they would be motivated to act to commit a felony that's so hard to do on someone else's behalf.
To vote twice.
Yep.
To vote maybe twice.
Yep.
Is wildness.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I mean, there's been, you know, countless studies. It's a good talking point.
Yeah,
you're trying to rile up your base.
Dude, 5 or 6 years ago, I was in Ireland for like a whole week, and it was during their, like the last week of their presidential election.
Okay.
Literally, I saw like 5 signs. And at one point, some guy was in the middle of like this big square. He's like, "Vote for Fred," and somebody else is like, "George is my guy." And that was it. It wasn't all over TV.
Was it
medieval
England?
But there's limitation.
Hey, George, people here.
No, but it's that they have limitations of what they're allowed to spend.
Right, right. That's what it's about.
So, I'll say.
We spent $1 million, and we got to deal with these motherfuckers for 2 years straight. We got to get money out of fucking campaigns. All the money.
Yeah.
Get all of it out.
Money has no business.
Zero. Everybody gets zero. And then give everybody $3.
Yep. Yep.
Spend your $3. Then everybody get $100.
Yeah.
We got to get the shit out of, like, private money got to get out of campaigns.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I am not a fan of Massachusetts sports, but I'm a fan of their campaign finance system. If you look at Massachusetts, the maximum amount you can give to a candidate is $1,000, and lobbyists are limited to $250. Why aren't we leading on these issues, right?
Yeah,
in order to lead on issues, you have to lead by example. And in many ways, we're examples not on how not to do this. Right. And that's just sad because we used to set precedents and we used to take the lead on these issues. We used to rail against corruption. I mean, we basically started the progressive movement. And I think we have to just recognize that we have a problem. And I think that's where it starts. You have to look not just outward, but also inward.
Yeah.
And I think keeping the White House in order shouldn't come at the expense of keeping your own house in order.
I agree.
Yeah.
So corrupted. We're so corrupted. We are late on everything. We should be. You would think that we would lead the way.
Yep.
We would be the guiding light. Even with something like marijuana, nigga, we still are like, why can't we get it together?
Why?
Because there's so much corruption. Everybody fucking so old school, corrupted, and so stuck in their ways and don't want to do anything. They just want to stay in a position. That's it.
It's old school.
I mean,
it's like, oh, you would think New York would be the place. You Colorado, you can smoke, and New York, you can't.
We govern.
We are international city, motherfucker.
We govern mafia style here, though. It's like super closed off and
fact, everything is, yeah.
And mobbed up, man.
Yeah, we mobbed up.
Yeah.
Dirty. And the politicians just as bad as the fucking mobsters. They are the mobsters.
If someone's in professional politics here, they are dirty. That's I don't think that there's otherwise the exception that proves the rule.
Have you been in it for longer than 10 years, 10, 15 years? You're dirty.
Yeah.
You did something.
You don't stay in the game that long unless you learn how to
just
play.
It's too much money.
We got to clean the game out.
How do you stay clean when there's that much money?
Well, dirty there's money at the bottom too, but it has to coordinate, and that's the problem. I think it's hard to do that.
Remember when Hillary first came here to run for Senate? And Alphonse D'Amato and all of them just got the fuck out of her way. Because they got out of the way because they was going to get exposed as the crooks they were. That's why she could walk in here and be like this. I'm from New York too, Yankee hat.
Right.
And smoked them. Alphonse, ain't he going to prison now?
Hmm.
One of these guys just go, he got 2 years or whatever, fucking about to go to prison. Hmm. He used to be the senator here.
Shit.
They're so dirty for so many years. Yep. Hillary moonwalked in here, nigga, and took their job. Yeah.
And it was
amazing. It was amazing to see. They have to run a dude. Remember they ran that fucking nobody from Staten Island against her.
And it's so
interesting. But she was only 2 years in Congress. Didn't have a chance to be crooked yet. Yeah. I hate the crookedness of this fucking state.
No, I totally agree. And if we don't do anything about it, the empire state's going to turn into an empire of fraud.
Yes.
And that's the sad part. And Preet Bharara, I mean, was going after all of these guys.
Yes, and
one
they got rid of
after another, after another.
He was the best.
And they didn't even get it. Didn't even result in any ethics reform. How do you not reform your system when everyone's going to prison?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and yeah.
How do you not change it? They said, "Fuck it, we're going to sweep them out and then sweep on."
So there's
new
a fresh
crooks.
Supply of people to come back into the system
and
buoy
him.
It back.
I mean, it's
where
not
they
unique
to
New York though that it's a total quagmire.
No, but it's so
right
shockingly
away.
I agree. I just think it's
a place that's so.
Well, it's more I grew up near Atlantic City, and man. Yeah. Is that a political shithole?
But Atlantic City doesn't have pretensions of being super progressive.
Yeah, fair
New
enough.
York
yeah.
is like, we're a yes. bastion of progression, yes. and we're really, really not.
And we're now looking up to places like New Jersey. I mean, you guys recently passed, I think it was a few years ago, redistricting reform, right? Mm-hmm. How you create the boundaries and the lines of your district. You guys have it's a paragon for it. I think you're ranked like second.
I didn't have much to do with it, to be honest.
You didn't?
Yeah.
I thought I wasn't giving credit where it was due. Sorry. But isn't that crazy? I mean, we used to back in the day. We'd make fun of Jersey. We'd be like, all right, look how they have so much corruption. They're not doing anything with good government. And now I'm using you guys as an example on how to do things. Mm-hmm. And that's different.
AC remains so as backwards. A few years ago, there's it's always like the school board that is like the most crooked thing.
Oh yeah.
And a 22-year-old kid was the head of the school board because it's a voted in position in Atlantic 22. City. And he after a few months, they caught him. He had embezzled like $62,000. And at his sentencing, he was like, "Hey, I paid back $15,000. For a 22-year-old, that's pretty good." Give me a little credit.
Wow.
He was the head of the school board?
Yeah. Dude, in Atlantic City, the mayor was missing for like 4 months while he was in office. And it turned out it was Levy. And this is like 5 years ago. And it turned out that he was in one of the casinos in a penthouse drinking booze and banging hookers.
Great. Well, so he came out refreshed and ready to leave.
But it was like the search was on for him, and like room service is dealing with this motherfucker every day.
Atlantic City peaked after the game Monopoly.
Yeah.
That was the top of the city. That's all y'all can accomplish.
Yeah. After
that's
that
pretty big accomplishment, though.
That's pretty big. I mean,
after that big explosion, yeah. After that big explosion, Miss Nucky, that was it.
If you find yourself on the rill of Baltic, right, you getting stabbed.
Oh, dude, there's streets that aren't paved in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's just down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those near the casinos are still okay.
Yeah.
Because it's just big casinos and parking garages. But also, it's the people around there look shit like the bar from Star Wars.
Yeah. Dude, I did it.
A bunch of fucking mutants and they're like.
I did a show at Boardwalk Hall and I was all psyched about it, and I had to park like way far off, and like you know how when a hooker starts talking to you, you know it's a hooker, but usually some kind of like, hey baby, how you doing, yeah, type thing. This is right away, this haggard old bitch was like I'll give you a hand job for $20.
I was like
nah, I'm good. Blow job for $10. I'm like no, I'm good. You can get this pussy for $5. Like, oh my god, $5 Atlantic City pussy, son.
I hope you didn't turn it down, did
I
you?
Mean, come on. No, I bargained her down for anal for $1, but
I would have got a hand job,
$5,
a blow job, and made her park my car $7. Yeah, she valet too. Nigga, she valet.
That dollar menu.
You gotta know where to go. The drop. That's the drop.
It was right by the drop.
I know Lucy, man. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You ain't fooling me. I know.
Dollar menu puss is suspect, buddy.
Lord have mercy. So what's your dream? What would be your dream to happen here in the state as far as like real estate is concerned, as far as like landlords? What would be the best thing that could happen?
I think the best thing that we can happen that could happen is reforming our government
so
that landlords are following the law.
And do we need an organization? Do we need some type of department where they just handle fucking fraud, landlord fraud?
I mean, we have that. It's just controlled. It's that our enforcement system has basically turned into a real estate protection system. Because these agencies are led, right, by the mayor and the governor, and there's a lot of money going into this. Right. And that's why at the end of the day, what we're touching here is basically a symptom. And it's important. You want to show that the symptom exists so you can get to the root cause. And there's no doubt in my mind that if we can reform our campaign finance laws, we can reform our ethics laws, our election laws, things will get better, things will improve, our MTA will get quicker, our affordable housing stock will get bigger, and our elections will get fairer. No doubt in my mind. And that's why we have to spend more time looking at state politics.
Right.
We should also look at city politics, but the state really controls everything at the end of the day.
Do we need a good old-fashioned whistleblower? I think we need somebody in the shit.
Kim, we have our Kim.
But she's a journalist doing
well,
it.
But that's inside.
Well, it's got to be employees in these departments who's like this. I'm frustrated with this fucking job.
We need someone hot that we can put on TV.
Because I'm trying to make a difference, and they just keep telling me I can't do anything. I can't move on these fucking landlords. Because the people who work in these departments are fucking renters and New Yorkers too.
Yeah.
But they got to be hot,
and that's actually happened.
To put on
so
TV.
When did that happen?
It was like, I think like 2 years ago, where there was an employee at HPD that went on record and gave ProPublica a lot of data on some of the discrepancies and all that, and they posted it online. I would say the press has a huge role in helping us achieve good government reform. I mean, even our organization, press is a huge part of this because a lot of people aren't listening, right? Because a lot of them, they don't want to listen. Mm-hmm. It's the press that will listen at the end of the day. And, you know, they're not perfect either, but they are instrumental in achieving good government reform, and also our legal system. Here's a positive. I worked in Albany, and that was not a good time. It's three men in a room, three men that get to decide everything, the leader of the Senate, leader of the Assembly, the governor. If one of them doesn't want to see a bill go through, it is over.
It's over.
That's not very democratic.
Right.
But in our legal system, while also imperfect, is considerably more equitable and considerably more fair. Right? A judge can't really write no comment. Right, they have to. They're. Right, you can't just be behind closed doors writing these rulings. But If you don't agree with that ruling, you can appeal it, goes up to the appellate, and it could potentially go up to the appeals. That's a healthier system. And that's right. Why I left Albany to start this organization, so I can expose this through our legal system and make some progress that way.
That's the route to do it.
And, you know, one example of how bad it is in Albany, we drafted a bill that would have raised the threshold at which landlords were required to provide heat, which at the time it's like 40 degrees. When it's 40 degrees or warmer, they would have to then provide heat, which is pretty low.
Right.
And when I went to Program and Council, which is a department there that you basically have to talk to before you propose a bill or before you're elected proposes a bill, they basically said, no way, you know, we're not going to pass this. And I said, that's fine. I figured you were going to say that, but at least allow us to propose it.
Right.
Don't, you know, if it doesn't go anywhere, fine, but at least we can make this into an issue, right? At least we can go to the press. We can, you
make
know,
make them
you
vote
can,
on it.
Yeah, make them vote. And make them vote, and even if they didn't want to vote on it, just allow us to say that we proposed the bill so we can go on TV and say what we're proposing and raise awareness.
Right.
And they said, nope. And I said, why? I said, I'm literally asking you to let me fail. Why won't you let me fail? And they said, point blank, I wish I recorded the call, that REBNY, RSA, the real estate lobby, would get pissed off. And the fact that they were willing...
And they in the pocket of these motherfuckers.
Yeah, just saying. Oh! Like, it is so bad where you're not allowed to even fail. And that's when I said, you know, and I got to so get funny. Out of Albany and go somewhere else.
They're so comfortable telling you that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, that I can't believe you just said
that. Yeah, that should be a secret.
Have some respect and lie to us.
At least have some respect. That is impunity like I've never heard.
Yep.
They don't give a fuck because ain't nobody who going
to
check them.
As a private person working your job, you don't have that kind of latitude in your life to be that, like, aggressively corrupt.
Right.
But it was
impressively corrupt.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was impressed.
Nailed it.
I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I wish you taped that.
I know.
Who wasn't on the phone with you?
I don't remember. I had a lot of interesting phone calls.
What
a piece of fucking garbage up there in Albany.
Yeah.
I always said Albany's connected to Detroit, the evil triangle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that, good up there. And another problem is there's a lot of press in the city, right? They're focused on a lot of the city stuff because it's New York City. A lot of reporters don't report on Albany because it's not New York City.
Right.
And that's
enough. So far away, you can get away with murder.
And that's tough. But there are great Albany reporters who do expose this stuff.
Right.
It's just more difficult because it's in Albany and not New York City.
That is such a conspiracy. And like, if they wanted people to like really actively participate in that, it would be here.
Yeah.
Not stupid Albany. Yeah, well, I'm not making a trip or anything.
But it's beef between upstate and downstate too. For politicians, fucking journalists, fucking beef. Farmers.
And it's a good deal because if I'm an upstate politician, and a real estate company is donating a ton of money to me to vote on something that affects New York City. My constituents aren't going to get mad at me. Of course I'll support it. You're going to give me, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and I'm not even going to get in trouble with my constituents? Absolutely.
Trouble. I ain't got to see it. I ain't got to be around it.
So
that's easy money.
Yep.
I gotta kill somebody.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
That's the only way to do this, man.
That's what Aaron said to do. You know, you're just following orders here.
I'm gonna have to get a rifle and get up in a clock tower somewhere and start picking people off.
That's best.
This podcast is evidence.
That's right. You got me.
As always.
You even got your shooter glasses there.
Now, we're about to wrap it up. Now, where can people go? Any websites they can go to try to get some of this information?
Yeah, www.housingrightsny.org.
This is important stuff, man. I don't care what city you live in. It's coming for you. It's either happening already or it's because we don't know what controls just our everyday shit or who's in charge of what we pay for the littlest things. It's fucking frustrating. So it's
www.housingrightsny.org.
Thank you
can find
Aaron.
All of our information
great.
There. Thank you. Thanks
you
for having
me. You full information. We definitely want to have you back. Richie?
At Richie Redding is all my handles, and you guys can check out my podcast, Pets and Punchlines. It's comics with pets talking to vets. It's the dumbest and best idea. It's just comics talking about their dogs and getting vet advice from my girlfriend.
Nice.
It's super stupid. Yeah.
No, I like that.
Yeah, it's great.
I was a Yorkie for 15 years.
Really?
Passed away in 2010, but yeah, I had a dog for a long time.
We'd love to have you.
I had a few dogs in my life.
Want to come on?
What you have?
Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, South African Lion Hound in a 700 square foot apartment.
That was my rap name, South African Lion Hound. People don't know that. Didn't last long.
What the hell?
And the apartheid.
That was my name too.
K-Rons?
You can find me on Insta. My stories are always super lit. Karen Margol is K-E-R-E-N. And Twitty the same. I'm like not on there though. I find it toxic, but who knows, it might come back. And I'm about to launch a brand new podcast called Book Sluts, and it's the dumbest best idea. It's where we read only the free samples of books and then talk about what we think is going to happen, but we'll never know, and we just veer off into all kinds of shit. Me and Abby Rosenquist, such a funny comic.
Abbo, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the best idea we've ever had. It's so good.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And don't forget, this Tuesday, August 14th at the Comedy Cellar, the B-Day Comedy Show Bash, me and Pete Lee's birthday celebration, Leo's baby. We got a lot of people coming through, from Mike Che to Tony Rock to Sal Volcano, Yamanika, Derek Gaines, Chris Redd. It's going to be a lot of people there, man. Make sure you get your tickets at ComedyCellar.com. It's a 10 p.m. show, August 14th, Tuesday, August 14th, next week. It's going to be packed. And we got a Cypher DJing. Cypher sounds DJing.
Dude, I want to go to that, man.
Rumor has it Tracy Morgan's coming. So make sure you get your tickets, ComedyCellar.com, ComedyCellar.com. For the birthday bash, it's August 14th. Thanks, everybody, for coming out today.
You're welcome.
Great show. Race Wars, baby!